climate change and the indigenous communities in North America.
I have seen the season changing. There's less water and the ground itself, it's like drying up and it's creating erosion because of all the commotion on the American side.
Extreme weather, but mostly dry soil are causing displacement.
To realize that we are in a crisis state, conditions that are happening within our own homelands.
The elders deciding to stay put. Today on the America's Now podcast, we'll talk about how climate change is affecting indigenous communities in both Mexico and the United States. Hi, everyone. I'm Elaine Reyes in Washington, D.C., and this is the America's Now podcast. Today, we're talking with our Mexico City-based correspondent, Alistair Baverstock, who has covered extensively indigenous communities in Central and North America. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. Great to be here.
Alistair, in 2023, you produced a long-form story about the Navajos in the United States. What did you find?
To get into this, it's important to look at who the Navajo are and how they arrived specifically in the United States' largest Native American reservation, which is the Navajo Nation, which is based primarily in the north of Arizona state. So before the arrival of the European colonialists and the existence of the United States as a country, the Native American indigenous Navajo tribes specifically were a nomadic people who roamed across the southwest of the United States, following essentially the herds of buffalo wherever they would go. But with the expansion of the United States into that region of the country, those activities were curtailed, and given these treaties which the United States signed with Indian tribes all across the United States, designating them reservation lands where they would be able to govern themselves according to their own traditions, the Navajo Nation, which is this very area of very high relief, very extreme climate up in the north of Arizona, was essentially seen by the United States and the colonizers at that time as an area which is essentially worthless piece of land. It is the largest Indian reservation in the United States, but it's a very, very hostile environment. So the Navajo signed this treaty in the early 1800s and were assigned this reservation in order for them to go and live there, still conducting themselves as nomadic people who would follow the herds of wild animals which would roam across this area. So fast forward 150 years in an era where we're beginning to see much more extreme weather. Global climate change is beginning to impact, particularly in primarily the most extreme areas of the planet. So you can see ice caps melting in the north of the country. You can see sea levels rising in the Caribbean and places like this. And obviously in areas which are already prone to very extreme climate, they are the ones which are becoming essentially uninhabitable. And that's what's happening to the Navajo up on this reservation. We're seeing much more extreme weather. We're seeing much more marked seasons. We're seeing far less predictable seasons. We could see that for the Navajo from early November until, let's say, early April, it would be winter. You know, a lot of snow on the ground. They would say 2 or 3 meters of snow a year, and basically snow isn't happening anymore. Rains are not predictable any longer, and when they do arrive, they are very, very strong rather than particularly, you know, light. So that, coupled with soil erosion which is happening as a result of that, it's making life much, much more difficult for the Navajo, who are already a marginalized community. The Navajo in particular during the height of the COVID-19 pandemic were by far the worst impacted community in the entire country when it came to rates of infection and rates of death because of COVID-19 due to lack of medical infrastructure, as well as lack of access to proper healthcare, proper information about diet and proper information about diet and health. So they're already a marginalized community, and today they're finding themselves much more, I would say, displaced from these lands, which many of them say we were forced onto and we didn't really want in the first place.
Indigenous people in most countries feel very close to land and can consider themselves as guardians of the environment. So climate change must be very striking for them in more than one way.
It certainly is. And when we were up talking to these Navajo elders about their own culture, there's something that they really, really try to preserve. For example, Verlina Hale, who was one of the interviewees, this Navajo elder whose children have left the reservation to seek better economic opportunities outside, was talking to us about this indigenous culture and even showed us, indigenous culture up there, they still preserve these traditions, these culinary staples. She even showed us the difference in corn cobs and the way that they have been shrinking over the past decade since these more extreme climate change trends began to happen. And we could see in front of our eyes, in front of the camera, exactly how these specimens have changed over recent years. And that's something which is really beginning to impact on their culture, not being able to get corn pollen, which they see as a particularly important substance for their own traditions. And there was one really interesting, the Navajo preserve those traditions very clearly. And rather than the yin yang, they classify things according to male and female. And everything there stems from Mother Earth and Father Sky. And everything hails from that. And so in climate change terms, they see essentially that Father Sky is angry and that Mother Earth is the one who is suffering the effects of this. And they say, well, when rain falls, for example, if you have a soft rain, that's a female rain. It's one which is nourishing. It's one which is nurturing. But when you have a masculine rainfall or precipitation, it's one which is destructive. It's one which causes soil erosion. And there's more, they say, at the moment from Father Sky, who's angry over what's happening given the contamination and the causes of climate change. The way they see it is that Father Sky is angry, Father Sky needs to be placated, and Father Sky is currently the one who is punishing the inhabitants of Mother Earth. And that's something which is, you know, according to their beliefs, is something which needs to be, you know, a return to the way of caring for Mother Earth.
Let's listen to Verlina Hale, a Navajo elder, talking about climate.
The corn represents the whole Navajo community, not community, but the Navajo culture, who we are as a person. No one's honoring Mother Earth. So on our traditional side, that's where Mother Earth and Father Sky are angry. And we're in the middle, like I said, the children. And that's where it's going off because of all the commotion on the American side.
Alistair, she mentions something that she calls the American side. What does she mean by that?
Well, the American side is the United States, the modern United States. As in, you know, America itself was named after, I believe, an Italian explorer who first identified the continent, the American continent. So the Americans when Verlina Hale talks about that, she refers to the United States as a whole, the country of the United States, which is something which the Navajo certainly don't think of themselves as Americans. They think of themselves as the original inhabitants and caretakers of the continent.
You also went to the Copper Valley in Mexico and spent several days with the Rarámuri indigenous people. They're struggling as well because the land there is very dry and the conditions are more extreme. Some are gone, but others are not tempted by urban life at all. Would you say that's true?
That's absolutely true. The Rarámuri, or the Tarahumara, as they're called, it means the same thing. It's the Rarámuri is what they call themselves in their own language. The Tarahumara is what they are referred to in the Spanish language. So they mean exactly the same thing. They have quite a similar history to the Navajo. The Tarahumara were an indigenous people who inhabited the northwest or the northern states of Chihuahua and Sonora during pre-Hispanic times. And after the arrival of the Spanish and their extension into these areas where they would be farming crops or mining, often the Spanish would get indentured laborers essentially from the local indigenous tribes to come and work for them and turn them into criollos, or people who were, you know, mestizos, people who were mixed with the Spanish colonialists, or at least brought into the Spanish colonialist culture. The Tarahumara were a tribe of people who said, forget it, we're not interested in anything the Spanish have to offer us. We are going to move ourselves into the mountains where the Spanish will not be able to enslave us, essentially. So the Tarahumara were people who lived in the plains of northern Mexico, who retreated into the mountains essentially to preserve their way of life, much in the way that the Navajo were forced to do that. Well, the Tarahumara did it of their own volition. They had the skills and the indigenous knowledge of the land in order to live off the land in this much more hostile environment. But now, in a time of worsening climate change, when the snows are no longer happening, the rains are no longer reliable, well, they too are now beginning to see that climate change is making life more and more difficult in the very extreme but very beautiful area in which they live, which is this Sierra Madre of Mexico, which is where the Copper Canyon is. In Mexico, you have the geography of Mexico is essentially coastal plains, and on either side you have mountain ranges which push up into this central plateau of Mexico, which is where the majority of people live. It starts, you know, from Mexico City up all the way up to the border with Texas. It's these high plains called the Altiplano. Well, the Tarahumara live in the mountains of the Sierra Madre on the western side. That's a very extreme area. It's a very beautiful area, but it's one which is becoming particularly difficult to live in now during a time of increasingly obvious climate change.
A few numbers here, Tarahumara, about 120,000 people. How many indigenous are there roughly in Mexico?
So there are statistics in Mexico that as much as a third of the total population are indigenous. So what that means essentially is that they hail from indigenous places, they preserve indigenous traditions. But of those, the ones who still speak indigenous languages are less than a tenth. So when it comes to preserving indigenous tradition, it's one which is particularly difficult in Mexico, not least because society here often rejects the indigenous traditions as something which is backward, something which is not part of a modern globalized state, which is Mexico as one of, you know, the world's top 20 economies. In the modern world, a lot of people see the indigenous as having no place in this. They don't contribute much to the economy. They have no interest in, very few indigenous people, for example, in Mexico, of that third of the indigenous population, less than a tenth of them have any sort of formal bank account or presence within the formal economy. So within a modern globalized world, often within Mexican society, the indigenous are seen as people who have nothing to contribute. They have nothing to offer internationally, at least, or to Mexico's globalized economy. But they most certainly do have a lot to offer, and particularly when it comes to the stewardship of the environment. These are the people who know better than anyone else what it is, how to live off the earth sustainably, rather than damaging it in the way that modern globalized economies have been doing. So it's something which is seen very, very in a negative light, but nevertheless that the Mexican indigenous people, those who preserve their traditions very ferociously, well, they're the ones who say, well, we're here and we are the ones who will be outlasting everyone else.
Let's talk about the displaced indigenous communities because of climate change, which you reported on in 2023. When we see migrants trying to cross the U.S.-Mexico border, are some of them indigenous? And is that why they're leaving?
They most certainly are. There are statistics today that migrants who are arriving in Los Angeles specifically, that 15% of the migrants today from the Americas are crossing the southern border and arriving in the city of Los Angeles, 15% of them do not have Spanish as their first language. That means a lot of them are coming from indigenous areas. And given that it's the indigenous areas which are becoming currently the worst impacted by climate change, those are statistics which are going to absolutely grow in the coming years. As climate change becomes more serious in these more extreme areas, well, more people are going to be displaced as a result, and the majority of those people are going to be seeking to migrate with the United States as their final destination. So certainly there are a lot of indigenous people on the migrant trail at the moment, and that is going to be a statistic and a trend and a phenomenon which is only going to increase in the coming years.
This is Larry Sosi, a Navajo person.
The drought really impact on the people. For the past years, we had no rain, we didn't have no snow, but just dust storm.
So climate change is not going away anytime soon. What do you see in the immediate future for the indigenous people in North America? You spoke about the education, the disparity in pay, moving to the American side. What else does the future hold?
What a lot of the Navajos have spoken to me about is that already economic opportunities are unavailable on the Navajo reservation. Kids leave to study in universities, get degrees, get master's degrees outside, seek to return to their tribe, seek to return to tribal life and work and live inside the Navajo Nation, but are told when they go to apply for jobs that you're simply overqualified. We cannot give you a job. There's no work for you here. So economic displacement is already a trend in the Navajo Nation, but climate change is now making life more and more unsustainable there. And therefore, climate change is now going only to boost the rates of Navajos leaving the Navajo reservation. There's statistics today that say that of the total Navajo ethnicity of people who not necessarily identify, but are Navajo in their ethnicity, that two-thirds of them today live outside the Navajo Nation, and only a third of the Navajo actually remain inside the reservation there. That is a statistic which in the coming years is expected to grow. One in particular elder in the Navajo Nation told me that within a decade, they expect the actual population of the Navajo Nation, which is just over 120,000 people, to shrink down to around 75,000 people as more and more people leave the Navajo Nation to seek lives in the American side, as we spoke about earlier, something they don't necessarily want to do, but they are nevertheless being forced to do these days.
The future of the Navajo Nation, of the Dene Nation, will really depend on education. Bring educational outreach about the scientific views of global warming, about the idea of conservation to save what we have for our future generations, to realize that we are in a crisis state, conditions that are happening within our own homelands.
Al Baverstock, thank you so much for being with us today on the America's Now podcast. The executive producer of the America's Now podcast is Jose Velasquez. Our audio editor is AJ Moore. Humberto Duran is the head of the features unit, and I am your host, Elaine Reyes. Until next time.